From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. Madeline Brand is away today. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, as President Bush prepares for a trip to Europe, the number two U.S. diplomat resigns his job at the State Department. First, the lead, nuclear ambitions and anxieties. The president used a graduation appearance at the Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point, New York today to speak to Iran about its nuclear plans.
I have a message for the Iranian regime. America and our partners are united. We have presented a reasonable offer. Iran's leaders should see our proposal for what it is, an historic opportunity to set their country on a better course.
The U.S. and its allies do have a proposal in Tehran to persuade Iran to back away from developing nuclear technology that could lead to making bombs. But then over the weekend, news of another problem, this time with North Korea. U.S. officials are saying the North Koreans are apparently about to test a long-range missile that would be capable of carrying a weapon to this country. White House spokesman Tony Snow told reporters the U.S. has been talking with North Korean representatives in New York. On North Korea state-run television, the regime defended its right to protect itself against alleged U.S. spy planes conducting surveillance. Ambassador Wendy Sherman served in the State Department under President Clinton and was a senior advisor on North Korea policy then. Ambassador Sherman, welcome back to Day to Day.
Good to be with you, Alex.
There was a launch, actually, while you were at the State Department. This was in 1998. North Korea tested a missile that wasn't quite as long range as this one, but still a pretty sizable missile. Just remind us what happened after that.
One of the first things we were able to do was to bring about a moratorium on any further testing of missiles, long-range missiles, by North Korea while we entered into negotiations around their missile program and their nuclear program.
Well, it looks as though that moratorium may be about to end. This missile, according to intelligence apparently derived from satellite photographs, this missile is fueled, it's on a launch pad, and experts say you don't do that kind of thing unless you're going to actually shoot the thing off because it's dangerous to load these missiles with fuel. So if they break the moratorium, what then?
Well, I think a number of things will happen. We're already seeing some of the reaction around the world. The Japanese yen fell on markets because of concern about what's going to happen. We've heard from Japanese government officials that they will immediately go to the Security Council because this will fly over Japan, if not by accident, land somewhere near or on Japanese territory. And it may get as far as the continental United States. Even if it fails, it's going to create great anxiety for people because of its ultimate capability, which is to reach the continental United States. So I think that the sanctions that were suspended under the Clinton administration when the moratorium was achieved and when other diplomacy went forward probably will be slapped back on. I think we will see a referral to the Security Council. I think we will see a lot of punitive action, but I also hope that we see the Bush administration do what many of them urged us to do during the Clinton years, which is look at their policy. They have been in six-party talks, the vehicle for negotiations with North Korea, but there really hasn't been any real diplomacy that's gone on. They have not approached this in the way they are now approaching Iran at a high level with a real package of disincentives, but also a real package of incentives.
Well, there was a deal offered last year that included economic rewards for giving up weapons, and North Korea rejected that. Are you saying it just wasn't an attractive enough deal?
Just as we were beginning to put proposals on the table with North Korea, the administration also began a foray to stop North Korean counterfeiting. Now, North Korean counterfeiting is very bad. It probably helps to finance their nuclear weapons program. But at the same time, it should have been part of the overall negotiation. It was seen by North Korea as you give with one hand and you take away with another. You're cutting off our funds. You're sanctioning our businesses. You're further deteriorating our economy. If you're truly serious about diplomacy, why are you doing this to us right now?
When we last spoke a few months ago, you noted that the person in charge now of U.S. policy toward North Korea is the Deputy Secretary of State, Robert Zoellick. He announced today that he's leaving that job very quickly. What difference is that going to make?
Bob Zoellick actually has not been the day-to-day person on North Korea. It's been Ambassador Chris Hill, who's an able diplomat. But I think it is a great loss for the country and for the president, Bob Zelik's leaving, because he has led diplomacy on Sudan, and he's led the diplomacy with China, who is a key partner. And really, we've turned over much of the negotiating leadership to China in the North Korean negotiations. So his close relationship with China will be a problem. And I think, as able as Ambassador Hill is, we need a very senior diplomat, even more senior than Ambassador Hill, involved in this with North Korea, because we're at a very, very difficult and very dangerous place.
Ambassador Wendy Sherman now with the Albright Group in Washington. Ambassador, thank you.
Thank you.